Every week, the Orange Fizz team breaks down the five most pressing questions about Syracuse athletics.
Holy cow, what a big time defensive play!
No holds barred.
I pity the fool.
It's the Fizz Five.
Five!
Another week, another edition of Fizz 5. Hello, everyone. I'm Adam Gatkin alongside Nico Horning, and we have got so much stuff going on the Hill right now. So let's skip all the fun at the start and get right into the meat of our show. Topic number one, which is Syracuse men's basketball's 90-75 loss to Clemson last night.
Number one.
Well, it really felt like the epitome of this entire Syracuse men's basketball season. Everything that was kind of boiling up, all the little things that went wrong all throughout the year, really came to fruition last night in the 15-point loss to Clemson, a must-win game for the Orange, a game that if they won really put them into the at-large conversation, but with the loss, now most likely Syracuse will need to win the ACC tournament to make it to March Madness. We'll get into that later, but this game last night, to me, the biggest issue, and I think everyone can agree that the biggest issue was Syracuse just simply could not guard the paint. They don't have a true center. Clemson's a team with two big men. They have PJ Hall and Ian Sheflin. They're so dangerous because they're two guys who can, you know, spread the floor a little bit. You had Justin Taylor guarding Sheflin, who's a 6'8 power forward, and he gets 16 points, 16 rebounds. This wasn't a surprise to me. I saw this coming, I felt like, before the game. I didn't see any world where Syracuse could win, and this is exactly what happened.
Well, you can look at this a few different ways, I think. You mentioned the lack of a center spot for Syracuse, and obviously McLeod's been out for a while. You know, that lineup has been playing small. And when Clemson came to the Dome a couple weeks ago, you know, Syracuse fought back, but ultimately it was the bigs that kind of put the game away. So you mentioned Hall, and you know, P.J. Hall, I mean, he was kind of the one that ended the game last night. 25 points, 7 rebounds for Clemson. And that was kind of the downfall of Syracuse, I think, in the last several weeks, was not having a center spot. But to Syracuse's credit, they did, you know, withstand not having a center. So I think Malik Brown really stepped up over the last couple of weeks. And if you want to pinpoint last night's loss, you can. But at the end of the day, I mean, Clemson's a good team. Like, they were supposed to win this game. They were at home. And I think if you're a Syracuse fan, you should be happy with the way this team ended the season. Based on the last 2 to 3 weeks, you win, what, 4 of your last 5, I believe. Just really a decent end of the season, because we were talking, you know, about maybe 3 to 4 weeks ago by now that, you know, this team had to find something to play for.
I said the season was over the last time we talked.
You did. And I was kind of going against you a little bit. I'm like, you know what? They can string some wins together and have a good push to end the year, and I thought they did. Obviously, you would have liked to have this win to have a shot at March Madness, which was not even in the equation a month ago until that North Carolina win, and then everyone's ears perked up a little bit like a bunny rabbit. So, you know, it's a tough loss at the end of the day, obviously, for the NCAA tournament hopes, but now you're likely done thinking about that, and it's on to the ACC tournament where Syracuse can make a little bit of a run. I think it's going to be a matter of how they continue to play like they have been playing the last couple of weeks.
You make too much sense there, Nico. Let me be an emotional sports fan and live in the moment. like you're right. The end of the season for Syracuse is a positive. The fact that they're able to do all this and win those 4 games in a row without a center says a lot about this team. And you have to give Adrian Autry all the credit in the world. The first 20-win regular season in 9 years.
Yeah, and you can't have more than that. So I know where you're going to go
with this.
But at the moment, it hurts.
It does.
But you were the one a few weeks ago to say this team was done. You doubted this team the last couple weeks.
I did.
Did they go above your expectations?
They did, which, again, in the long run, it makes me more excited and it gives me more hope. But, like, in the short term, which is kind of where my mind is right now, that's where it's so frustrating. I can look at it both ways, but, again, like I just said a moment ago, as an emotional sports fan, it's hard sometimes to look into the future. And in the future, the end of the year, it's all positive, and they show potential. But right now, it hurts. And the loss, it just was so frustrating, and it was the little things that SU just did wrong. I mean, down the stretch, letting Joe Girard go to the free throw line 7 times. He's one of the best free throw shooters in the country. He hasn't missed a free throw since mid-January. You could see how angry Adrian Autry was about it, because it's the little things like that that you just can't do. You can't let that happen. And Gerard got shut down in the first half, and then they just kept fouling him in the second. Goes to the free throw line 7 times. And you know, yes, I can see the side that you're talking about, where the fact that this game even mattered says something, and the fact that this game even mattered shows that there's progress. But still, in the moment, because of the hype, because there was a chance coming into this game that it really could have meant something if they won, that's why I'm so frustrated at the end of the day.
You're right. Let me propose this to you. If Syracuse lost yesterday's game on a buzzer beater, would you feel differently right now? Or would that? Because to me, if you lost by a couple of points, I mean, that would hurt even more than it does right now. I feel like this team was down most of the game to where it kind of got to the point, a comfortable, you know, exception that this team was not going to be going to March Madness, most likely, going forward, just based on the, you know, you could call it a slow death last night. But they hung in there, and they
fought.
There
was one stretch where they got into a 5-point game in the second half.
They did. So it was a closer game than maybe it could have been. And again, I credit the Orange for that. But yes, obviously tough loss. You would have loved to see this team, you know, somehow sneak its way into the tournament, which I couldn't even have fathomed a couple weeks ago. So there's positives to this. There's a couple of negatives, which, you know, you're not making the tournament again for a, you know, pristine Syracuse basketball program. But at the end of the day, you know, I can't find many negatives, because your team's down a center and you have a first-year head coach. And with all of that going together, you still end up in the top half of the ACC and, you know, are better off than I think they were last year.
That was an interesting point that you brought up. Would you be more heartbroken if Syracuse lost on a buzzer beater compared to a loss like this? And it's an interesting one, because in terms of the tournament, it really doesn't matter as much, because yes, it would have helped with the efficiency, it would have helped with the net rankings,
but
you still needed the win. You still needed the win in this sense, and we're going to get more into to point differential, how the net rankings work, and why Syracuse is so low in the net rankings at the end of this. But I think that that's an interesting point that you brought up, because the fact that they got blown out, that's not necessarily blown out, but didn't really feel like they ever had a chance, because Clemson goes on a 12-0 run after it was 5-5.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point that you brought up of, you know, like, this was the whole game. Like,
yeah, I don't think it was a whole... I wouldn't call this game a blowout.
No,
they couldn't get over the hump.
It was the step right in between the close game and a blowout, where it was like Clemson controlled the whole way through. If Syracuse hit a 3 down by 5, then, you know, maybe something could have happened. But I do think that's an interesting point that you brought up. I think I would be a little bit more upset, of course, if they lost on a buzzer beater, because then it would have felt like they had a chance. But if anything, to me, the fact that they lost like this, I feel like it kind of like it puts a bow on the end of the season, that, like I said, that it all ties everything together, that this is the Syracuse basketball team. This is what the team has been all year long, struggling in the paint, struggling with consistency. Chris Bell wasn't consistent again. Justin Taylor, I don't even know if he took a shot by the end of the game. I know like first 15 minutes he didn't take a single shot. I don't know if he even got one off. JJ and Judah both not playing incredible. JJ got to 10 points, but he didn't look like he has this past couple months. Judah forcing drives, couldn't hit his outside shot. So at the end of the day, it's like I said this in the instant reaction. I almost was like a little bit relieved that we could finally just like be like, you know what? This team is exactly what we thought it was. Good, but not great. And I think that that's what they proved in the Clemson game. Good, not great.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm with you on that. And, you know, it's funny because we knew this team was inconsistent like going into this game. It's just they've looked so consistent the past couple of weeks. You're like, are they turning the corner? Could they have a shot against Clemson on the road?
But it's the same team that we thought it was.
Definitely.
Because you like, were they turning the corner? But they also beat NC State, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, and Louisville. None of those teams scare you whatsoever.
Still, I use this comparison in the NBA where any team can win on a given night in basketball. So, you know, it does come down to that. When you win four in a row after you've been struggling kind of throughout the season. So I give them that credit. But yeah, all in all, I mean, just... really a tough loss last night, and I don't think everything was firing on all cylinders like you would have liked to see. Obviously, Judah had 20, like you mentioned, but other than that, just A lot of inconsistency throughout the rest of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tough to talk about that team after last night's loss, but a team that's very easy to talk about is the Syracuse women's basketball squad. A lot of news yesterday. Felicia Leggett-Jack, the ACC Coach of the Year. That's topic number two.
Number two.
It's nice to have a good basketball team on campus, isn't it? The Syracuse women, still in the top 25. They lose the final game of the season to NC State, but still lock up that double bye in the ACC tournament, which starts on Friday. The Orange are the 3 seed. We'll play at 7:30 p.m. against the winner of Florida State against either Wake Forest or Virginia. This is a squad that I don't want to say limped towards the end, but definitely kind of saw some struggles at times, you know, losing 2 out of the last 3 games. How do you feel about this team right now? Because I have some concerns going into postseason play. Yes, they're incredible. Yes, FLJ's done a great job and they've overachieved, but I have some concerns.
I don't know if I'm more positive right now than I was last year with
really?
This team. I don't know.
So you have concerns too?
I do. Reason being, De'Asia Fair, obviously, you know, she's
incredible.
Incredible. Like, you can rely on her every game. Who the hell is going to step up?
Yeah.
That's basically what it comes down to again. So, you know, if this team can prove something else the next, well, hopefully couple games or few games, whatever it may be, that's kind of what it comes down to. Alyssa Latham is someone I want to point out. Elena Rice as well. There's just a few players that I don't think they've reached their full potential. Now, I do think Georgia Woolley has played better as of late. I know she had that span where she had over 20 points a couple of games in a row, and I believe she's leveled out lately. But it's time and time again where we see this team rely on De'Asia Fair, and then you don't get the production from everyone else that you'd like to see, and I think it holds them up. So that's literally the, I think, biggest question that you can ask from this team going forward is, who in the world is going to step up besides De'Asia Fair?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I agree with you because in postseason play, you need everyone else to step up. Mm-hmm. I worry if you play a team that has a great defensive point guard, what happens? If the ball's out of De'Asia Fair's hands, then can you fully trust Georgia Woolley? Can you fully trust Elena Rice, the freshman? You know, Alyssa Latham, just 4 points against NC State in the loss back on Thursday. I don't really trust this team. And the rebounding at times can be a real issue. In the loss to Duke 3 games ago, they got dominated on the boards. They lost the rebound battle 52-25, more than doubled up. Jaden Donovan, she's like one of my favorite players, by the way, on Duke. She's from D.C. I've been watching her play for years. She had 15 rebounds, and she's not even a center. She's a wing. Syracuse can get dominated on the boards at times, and I have a lot of concerns. The other thing that worries me about this team is an inability to blow the worst teams in the ACC out. Before that Duke game, I know we're going kind of far back now, 4 games ago, but beating Virginia by just 6 points, that's a bad Virginia team that is 11th in the ACC against Pittsburgh. That's 2 games ago, the penultimate game of the regular season. The Orange were down going into the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh is the worst team in the ACC, and they were down going into the fourth quarter. Yes, they're winning games, but not doing it convincingly. I worry. I think that this is exactly the type of team that gets upset, that gets knocked out in the first round of the tournament. Because, you know, if we go back to the start of the year, when this team was playing some of your lesser name schools, when they were playing Lafayette up by just 6 after the first quarter, when they went to Ohio and played the Bobcats, not a very good Ohio team, up by just 1 going into the half. So the Orange have struggled against some of the worst competition, losing at halftime to Cornell. That I think that, you know, with everything that we've seen, an inability to blow out bad teams, struggling at times against your low majors, this team potentially could be one that sees an early exit, and there's a lot of reasons for it. As we've already said, De'Asia Fair being really the only player you consistently rely on being the main one.
When it comes down to the postseason, you need your star players to step up, and you need someone to rise that hasn't exactly been in the spotlight all season. You need those two things to come together for a team to, A, be relevant in the tournament, but B, I mean, go far. So You look at De'Asia Fair as the star. If she doesn't post, at least I want to say
30 points. I think she needs at least 25, at least close to 30 points a game.
I was gonna say 20.
I think she needs more than 20. Where are the other points coming from if she has just 20?
That's where I'm getting to. If she has 20 and you can have two other players get, 15, whatever, then you're fine. But if they don't, Fair's got to get 30. You're right.
Fair gets 20. Okay. Let's say Georgia Woolley gets 15. Alyssa Latham gets 15. You're at 50 points as a team. You need 70 to 80 probably to win games in the tournament. Where do those other 20, 30 points? Do you trust Elena Rice, Sophie Burrows, Isabel Vera? Do you trust those other role players to step up in big games?
You're going to have to.
That's the issue. That's why I struggle with this team. The thing is, though, the thing that does make me a little bit excited is that I think if there's any coach that can motivate you, any coach that can motivate these players, it's Felicia Legette-Jack, the ACC Coach of the Year.
Very true. And there's a reason why she is the ACC Coach of the Year. So I think there's a lot of, the game performances may not be the most momentum-carrying aspects right now for Syracuse women's basketball, but it's the awards, it's the foundation, it's the determination of this team. So I'm curious to see, how they play the next couple of games. I'm really looking at Georgia Woolley. If I can pick one player that needs to step up, it's going to be her. And I think she has stepped up as of late, but we need more consistent production from her, especially from the three-point line, where she hasn't exactly, done too well this season. She just went 0-for-5 against NC State. So I think Woolley is one player that has to step up her game in the tournament or else this team is done. You look at basketball now, right? You got to make the three ball. And I don't think, besides Fair, this team doesn't really make that many threes. Fair had 6 of them against NC State. The rest of the team had 2 combined. One from Burrows, one from Vera Zhao. So it's instances like those where you're right, Adam. This team can fall short. And yeah. I'm almost prepared for them to do that.
No, I completely agree with you.
That's a sad thing.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I in the back of my head, I'm ready to be disappointed. I've already prepared myself for it. All right, so the ACC Women's Basketball Tournament gets underway tonight, actually, but the Orange with a double bye won't play until Friday. Again, that game tips off at 7:30 p.m. So another sport on campus. We're switching now to the spring side, men's lacrosse. A bit of an interesting past week. A week ago tonight, losing to Army in overtime, beat High Point on Saturday. The Orange men are topic number 3.
Number 3.
Well, it's the team that I love most as a lacrosse guy. Just a really interesting start to the season for Syracuse men's lacrosse, because right now, a record of 5-2. Those two losses coming in overtime to top 5 teams in the country, Army and Maryland. If there was an inch on both of those games, if Christian Mullet didn't land in the goal mouth, and if Michael Leo didn't land in the goal mouth, and Christian Mullet made his half field shot with the open net, Syracuse would be 7-0 and the number 1 team in the country. And I feel like there's some people that have concern about this team. I'm not worried, but I do think so much stuff relies on the game this weekend when the Orange go down to Charlotte, a neutral site game against another top 5 team in Johns Hopkins. I think that this is one of the bigger games in recent memory for Syracuse men's lacrosse, because I think that they need a victory here after losing those two early games.
It's going to determine a lot about, what the make of this team is early in the season. Now, the funny thing is, I've said that same exact sentence a couple of times now against the ranked opponents, but it's been really tough to see really where they're at, because you mentioned the very tight loss to Army, the very tight loss to Maryland, and it just seems like you can't really make out where exactly this team is, because much like the women's side, which we'll talk about later, they can't close out those really tight games. That's the problem from both these programs, is they can't get over the hurdle. They cannot get over the hurdle. And I don't think it can be preached enough, because at some point, this team's better than last year. Well, you got to show it down the stretch when you can win those really close games. And I think Saturday is going to be another opportunity for them to do that.
Yeah, it is a massive game against Hopkins, the Two most historic programs in the sport battling out. Again, that game is Charlotte. Two straight neutral site games for the Orange. I know it's so early to start talking about the NCAA tournament, but I don't want to say this is a must-win game for Syracuse, but it's about as close as it gets. Because if you don't win this game, to get an at-large bid, then you have to beat Delaware, you have to beat North Carolina, you have to beat Cornell, and you probably have to win one of Notre Dame, Virginia, or Duke. The pressure continues to just get higher and higher, and for a young team, that worries me a little bit, because if they lose this game, if Syracuse loses this game, you can't afford to drop another one. You have to beat Delaware. You have to beat Cornell. You need those two non-conference ranked wins, and you need to beat the ACC teams. Syracuse, I think this is, again, as close to a must-win game as it gets.
I'm with you. I think that, you know, you look at last year's matchup, and again, this is another game that Syracuse lost by just 2 points or two goals. So it's going to be another one of those close games. Like, I expect this to be literally, you know, as tight as it can be going down the stretch. The question is going to be, can Syracuse close it out at the end? And there's been a lot of pressure on Joey Spallina lately. Rightfully so. He is, you know, obviously one of the best players in lacrosse, and he just hasn't exactly gotten over that edge because everyone is, you know, profiling him and picking him out and applying some more pressure than maybe they did a little bit last year. And I think it's getting to him a little bit. But again, he's a star, and at some point he's going to have to overcome, you know, those tendencies from the defenses here in the next few games. If that doesn't happen, I don't think this team's going where people would like to see them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It really just comes down to that. It's that simple.
It's going to be interesting. It should be a great game. Hopkins coming off back-to-back ACC wins on the road, beating North Carolina and Virginia. Their one loss came at the start of the season to the number one team in the country, Denver, in overtime. By the way, Denver scored a goal with literally time expiring in regulation to send that game to overtime. So wow. Hopkins is close to being undefeated. These are two programs that struggled a lot in recent years. It feels like Hopkins, though, is kind of just a year ahead of Syracuse, made the quarterfinals last year, and now finally back. It's a massive game. Both these teams need the win. Well, over to the women's side, Syracuse women's lacks also now with two losses on the season, three losses on the season, not two, 3-3 the record, losing to Northwestern in the opener, in overtime to Maryland, and in overtime last night to Stony Brook. That is topic number four.
Number four.
Well, Nico, I said it there. Three losses on the season for the Syracuse women's lacrosse team. 3-3 after an almost perfect regular season last year. You had the call for that game last night against Stony Brook that they lost in overtime. Are you worried about this team? Because I think they're in a weird spot where they've proven they can hang. It's not as special of a season as it was last year. I think it's just interesting. I don't know how to feel right now.
Well, to answer your question, no, I'm not scared. I think last night's game in particular, I think Stony Brook is a top five team in the country.
Oh, yeah. I think they're incredible. Joe Spallina, Joey's dad, right, is one of the best coaches in the country. I think he's awesome. And Ellie Massera is incredible.
Massera
too.
Is ridiculous. And I think Stony Brook won that game versus Syracuse losing that game. Mm-hmm. If you were there in the dome, it seemed like the game was tied every minute. I mean, it was going back and forth, back and forth. Yes, there were a bunch of 3-0 runs, but the way that the other team responded made the game so good last night. And I don't really look too far into a loss like that, because at the end of the day, it could have gone either way. That's really where I look at last night's game. Now, looking at the other losses, Maryland, again, another one where it was just like...
could have gone either way.
Exactly. So, and Northwestern, obviously a top team in the country to start off the season. So it's a mix of a tough schedule with very close losses or very close games that you're losing at the end. That's what's resulted in this 3-3 start for Syracuse women's lacrosse. And I don't look too deep into it. I actually think this is a positive thing for the team, because
I don't hate that.
I think it's a positive team or a positive thing for the team, because you have the close losses. Now, just like the men's side, you have to find the ability to overcome those. Once you start winning those games, you're going to be right there. Because if you look at the difficulty of the schedule to start this season, it is pretty much as tough as it gets, right? You have four ranked opponents in a row. Then you beat Duke, and then you play another ranked opponent in Stony Brook. All of them close games, except Syracuse beat on Army pretty good and got a big win on the road over Notre Dame. I just think that the tough schedule combining with the close losses is going to be good in the long run. It's just a matter of being patient, which is going to build the confidence and stamina of the team if they stay true and if they keep their heads up. This team will be fine in the next few games.
I agree with you. I think one of the issues last year was almost that they didn't face enough adversity right. throughout the season. Starting off 18-0, and then you lose to Boston College, you lose in the ACC tournament, you lose in the Final Four. This is a program that has lost in the national title game three times, has made the Final Four, what is it, 9 times in the last less than 20 years, but have just failed to get over the hump. This year, finally facing that true adversity, and I think that it can help them at the end of the day.
Definitely. And one player that I want to pick out is Emma Tyrell, because she hasn't had the best of starts to the season until lately. She had 5 goals on Saturday in the win over Duke, and I thought that was her breakout game. She felt really good after the game, and then she came into yesterday. A bit of a slow start. She was quiet early on, but then she found her stride, and got a hat trick for the team. So I think she's coming together. I think this team is starting to play and gel a little bit more than, you know, maybe they did right off the bat. And it's only a matter of time and a matter of confidence from this team, and they'll be fine.
All right, we'll see. It's an exciting team. They're so fun to watch. Just got to get over the hump this year.
Yeah, it's pretty much the theme of lacrosse for both men's and women's.
It absolutely is. Well, the Orange are back in action on Saturday on the road against Virginia Tech down in Blacksburg. Should be an easy win for the Syracuse team. Virginia Tech, a solid program in the ACC, but definitely not great. 4-2 on the season. Got dominated against the one-ranked opponent, lost 17-5 to James Madison. By the way, number 3 in the country at the time. Jamie was great, won the national title not too long ago. So that's always a surprise when you see James Madison so great in women's lacrosse, but they are an incredible program. Also lost 20-7 to BC on Sunday, so you got to think that that should be a pretty easy win for the Syracuse team. Also, at the time we're recording this, Virginia Tech in action, they're losing 4-2 to Elon. So should be an easy win for the Orange, but we'll see. That game again gets started at noon on Sunday. Well, we'll end things here with an interesting conversation, because it's something I wrote an article about yesterday, and we'll just kind of revolve around the net rankings, around how Syracuse men's basketball is looking going into the ACC tournament, into the NCAA tournament, and all of that fun, not so fun stuff to talk about. That's topic number 5.
Number 5.
All right, so we're in the spot right now where Syracuse, you can make an argument, can win 3 games and make it in as an at-large, but probably has to win the ACC tournament to get a spot in March Madness. The Orange have 20 wins in the regular season. Said this earlier, that hasn't happened since the first year in the ACC. Syracuse has got an at-large bid since then, but the metrics and the net rankings don't like the Orange this year. There's a lot of Syracuse fans, I see Brent Ack saying this too, and I just disagree with it, that are like, oh, the net rankings are dumb, the net rankings are awful, they need to switch the net rankings. People are just saying this because it doesn't favor Syracuse. If the net rankings loved the Orange, then it would be the opposite, right? Then it'd be like, oh, what do you mean? The net rankings are great. This mindset around the 315 and around Orange Nation that the net rankings are awful is just because it doesn't favor Syracuse. But if you look at what the net rankings look at, if you look at the Syracuse team and dive past the record, I actually think that the net does a really good job at evaluating this Orange squad. Because the reason that Syracuse is so bad in the net rankings right now is the inability to blow out teams in the non-conference play, playing close games against New Hampshire, Canisius, playing a close game against Niagara and Colgate. That hurts them. And then getting blown out, losing by 15-plus on the road against North Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest, Clemson, Tennessee, and Purdue. To me, that is exactly what it should be looked at when we're talking about an NCAA tournament team. What teams can dominate the low majors that you'll be playing in early rounds of the tournament, and who can be competitive against other tournament teams? Syracuse, I think, is 0-7 against the at-large field right now. I don't care that Syracuse beats Pittsburgh, that Syracuse beats Louisville, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, all of these bad teams. I care about if they dominate, you know, the low majors and they can be competitive against the best teams. And that's what they haven't done. And because of that, they're not favorable in the net. I think that the net is perfectly evaluating Syracuse this year. How do you feel about that, Nico?
I don't like the whole system.
Why, though? Because my
I think it dives too deep into games versus really resulting about the outcome of it. And I know that could be sort of an old school thing, but I think it's true. That's how I like to look at schedules. That's how I like to look at games, is kind of the big picture of it. You know, yes, you can play very close games to Niagara, your Colgates of the world early in the season. But if you beat a ranked North Carolina team at home, I mean, that should give you some props.
But it's not, one fluke win.
You beat North Carolina by 2 points versus 15. Now you're not going to make the tournament. Like, really?
But to me, that North Carolina was an outlier. That's one fluke win.
I'm just saying that gets blown past a little bit too much is my problem. Now, I'm not saying Syracuse should be in the tournament, and I'm not going to go full force in agreeing with, you know, Brennax or any of those Syracuse fans that think the whole thing's messed up, because, you know, people are very biased towards Syracuse. We know that. And so I'm half with you and half with them on that front of things. But as far as the actual net rankings and all of that, the whole program of it, I'm just not a big fan.
It's
too scientific. Too scientific. I'm not an analytics guy.
You see, I disagree.
I don't like analytics for baseball. I don't like analytics for, you know, stuff like this. I just think it kind of, you know, everything comes down to numbers, and I'm not a fan.
I disagree with you, because I think that despite Syracuse having 20 wins, this doesn't look like a great team. And that's what the net rankings agrees with. Because for me, I think that in college sports and in all sports, a win is not just a win. A loss is not just a loss in the regular season. We don't play for regular season titles. I don't care if you have a perfect regular season if you lose in the first round of the tournament. To me, the net rankings and the NCAA committee should be looking at what teams are the ones that can win the tournament. What teams are built the right way, what teams are dominating at times and maybe losing some close games, that are beating the right teams. You know, a win is not just a win. I think that margin of victory matters. I think that showing you can dominate teams matters. And I think that showing that you won't get dominated by teams matters as well. I don't think a win is just a win.
I think it's
how you look that's so important. I like that the net deals with efficiency too, because that's important as well. If you win a ton of close games against the teams that Syracuse has won close games against, like Miami and Louisville and all of these games, then I don't think that matters in terms of the NCAA tournament, because those are not teams that you're going to be playing. So I don't think you look at that, and I don't think you can just look at it and say, oh, look, they beat Miami, so this means this. I think it's, how did you beat Miami? What are these two teams like? I think you get rid of the name.
Because everything
that we do is for postseason play. At the end of the day, I don't care if you go undefeated in the regular season if you lose in the first round of the tournament. I think that the net sets things up well so that the teams that are built for success in the tournament are rewarded.
Yeah, but it goes too far into it. Like, I'm not going to base the whole schedule based on, not, you know, the impact of the game and how...
Not the full thing, but it's not 100% on the net rankings. It's not fully based on the net. There are teams that the net likes. I think I think Wake Forest, this is just off the top of my head, is like top 35 in the net. And right now, if the season ended today after that Georgia Tech loss, probably not in the tournament. So there is two sides of it. It's not just based on the net, but I think as it's better than the RPI and as just a guideline of a initial ranking, I think that the net does a good job. I think that in terms of Syracuse, it rates them well, because I think that Syracuse is right around 80th best team in the country. I mean, do you think that Syracuse is any better?
No.
Exactly. Like that's my thing.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that the fact that we have to build the whole schedule around that, and, you know, all the outcomes are going to be based off that at the end of the season, it's a little too in-depth, in my opinion. versus the feel of some of the games.
Yeah, and like I understand what some of the coaches are arguing, like Jeff Capel saying that the Big 12 can just schedule all these bad non-conference teams. By the way, hilarious that Jeff Capel said that, because Pittsburgh had one of the easiest non-conference schedules in the country, and he's attacking the Big 12 for it. It's like, come on, like you also did that, and your team's not going to make the tournament. But like I do think that there is something behind dominating bad teams. I think that's important. And that's what Syracuse didn't do, and that's what these Big 12 teams have done.
Yeah, but sometimes teams just play better on given nights. I mean, Colgate can shoot 60% from the three-point line.
But that wasn't just the one game. It was continually over and over again.
I get it.
Which is why I get it.
I think it goes both sides. I think it's too in-depth. It takes away from some of the feel of, how a team is playing. This has nothing to do with Syracuse, by the way.
I'm just
not a huge fan of the rankings. And I'm not saying they're bad as far as like structure of teams for getting into March Madness. I just think when it takes up the whole, schedule and every single game is, knitted down to the smallest particle. I don't know. It's tough.
I agree with you that it shouldn't be the only thing. My last question about tournament stuff, about the committee, but before we end this is, So the one thing with the net rankings is that it doesn't put an emphasis on when you beat a team. So if you beat Colgate at the start of the year and they were like god awful then and they were missing four starters, it's the exact same as if you played them now when they're on fire with everyone playing. That's my one issue with the net, and that's something that the committee right now does not put any emphasis on. So Syracuse on fire to end the season, the committee doesn't care about that. They care about your year as a whole. I think it's interesting. I haven't fully made up my mind on it of how I should feel. It's something that I've thought a lot about these past couple of days, and I still can't fully come to a conclusion about is what should be more important, the entire season or how you end it? Because like you look like in the NBA, it doesn't matter if you go on a 10-0 win streak, a 10-game win streak to end the year. If you weren't good at the start, you still might be an 8 seed or something like that. In college basketball, do you think it should be any different? Do you think it should be on how you end?
I think how you end is more important than how you begin the season.
NBA, it doesn't matter. A win in the first game of the year is the exact same as a win in the end.
Sure, I get it, but that's just based on records. This is a whole kind of scaled and opinionated way of making a 64 team bracket at the end of the day. Pro sports, you have a set, this number of teams going to make it. Here's who gets in. Here's who you're going to play. It's simple. College, it's just a bunch of teams thrown together into this group, and you have to really differentiate teams. And I think I give them credit for trying to give a sort of structure on how teams get into the tournament. I just think it's gone a little overboard, and so if it is going to be implemented that way, how you end a season should be favored a little bit more than how you begin a year.
I also think that there's no world in which the NCAA gets this right. Right? Like there's no world in which everyone agrees that it's done right, because no matter what, a fan base is going to be upset with how it works.
Definitely.
So that's the other thing.
Right.
The net rankings go against Syracuse this year. Next year, it could be the opposite.
Right.
And I think that's a big part of it, too.
And everything I'm saying is based on everyone, not just Syracuse.
Yeah.
So
that's my thing, too.
I'm on your side with Syracuse. But as far as the whole net thing go, I'm just not a big fan.
Well, we'll see. So on this, end things on this, one last question. Any chance Syracuse gets an at-large bid? If they go 3-0, make it to the ACC championship?
I think they're in.
You do?
I mean,
I think a lot has to go their way. There can't be any bid stealers in the low majors.
Right.
I think a lot has to go Syracuse's way. Even then, I don't know if it's possible.
If they really win three, that would make it 27 of their last nine is how I look at it.
Seven of the last nine. And so right now the committee says Syracuse has 19 wins because they don't count Chaminade. Rightfully so, by the way.
Yeah.
That shouldn't count.
No.
It'd be 22-11.
Yeah,
another win over a North Carolina or a Virginia.
If they win three games, I think they're in.
But again, it all you have to factor in everything else.
That's my issue.
It's interesting.
That's my issue. It is interesting.
You have to factor in the other teams and how many at-large bids are available. It's We'll see.
It's a bunch of misery. That's what it is.
It should be fun. I'll be at the entire ACC tournament down in Washington,
D.C.
Yeah,
you will. No, enjoy your week. That's gonna be fun for you to be down there. And no, it's gonna be some great basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we'll see if Syracuse can string a couple together.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm very excited for it. Make sure to check out our website at orangefizz.net. We'll have coverage for the entire ACC tournament. Even if Syracuse is knocked out, I say if, because, you know, hopefully they're not. Maybe they do make a run. We'll also have live tweets, spaces, videos, all of it on our website at Orange Fizz, on our social media at Orange Fizz on Twitter. So make sure to check that out as well. Thank you all so much for tuning into this edition of Fizz 5. For Nico Horning, I'm Adam Gotkin. We'll end things as we always do by saying go Orange.
And that's your Fizz 5. Listen next week. Subscribe, rate, and review. This has been an Orange Fizz production.